today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along as I read this. Beginning in verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless, irreproachable before Him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. Well, I hope that everybody here had a good Thanksgiving. Did everybody here get enough to eat this past week? Anybody still hungry? Yeah, no. Well, I had a good opportunity this past Thursday to eat pretty well. A few people have been worried about me, and Sonia's not around. You don't need to worry, I ate just fine. I had Thanksgiving meal this past week with some of my friends that live in Dayton, probably about 10-minute drive south of where I live. And we had just the most wonderful meal, just this traditional Thanksgiving meal. We had homemade rolls. We had these garden fresh vegetables. We had cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, sweet potato casserole, pumpkin pie. And of course we had something that every Thanksgiving meal needs to have. We had turkey with homemade gravy. It was a wonderful meal. But you know, there was a time when I was kind of worried that we might not have turkey for this Thanksgiving meal. Because the people that I enjoyed this Thanksgiving meal with, well, some of the people are vegetarians. Now, I don't use that word in a mean way. I appreciate vegetarians. I appreciate the dedication that they have, the willpower that they have to not be able to refrain from eating meat. I think it's a very healthy lifestyle to avoid eating meat, because I think my arteries are probably getting clogged up a little bit more every day whenever I enjoy my fruit juicy hamburgers. It's very healthy to have this lifestyle, this vegetarian lifestyle. But I personally love meat. I love meat, and I can't give it up. I'm sorry. I love meat. So whenever I made the decision to enjoy this Thanksgiving meal with these friends, some of whom are vegetarians, started to worry. Started to worry what would be on the table, on that Thanksgiving table. Sonny started making fun of me and saying, well, I hope you enjoy your tofu turkey. I was very worried that I might be served a tofu turkey. And the reason I was so worried was because no matter how much work they put into it, no matter how much flavor they inject, no matter how much work they prepare, and working on that tofu, it just isn't the same. It just isn't the real thing. You can't replace a turkey with tofu. There's no replacing the real thing. Now, as I look around our society today, I believe that many people are living tofu turkey kinds of lives. Many of us have tofu turkey relationships with one another. Well, think about it for a minute. We replace something that is very real with something that is not real. We replace real relationships with relationships that are less than real. As I think about the society that we live in, we know celebrities, people that we have never actually met, better than we know our own neighbors. We refer to celebrities by their first names, and we don't even know the people that live across the street's name at all. We know more about the marriage difficulties that Brittany and Kate Med have had, and we don't even know about the relationships of the people that live across the street from us. We know more about the adoption process that Brad and Angelina are going through than we know about our next door neighbor's attempt to start a family. It seems like we have replaced these real relationships that we could have with real people with fake ones. We have replaced real relationships with tofu turkey relationships. And people, there just is no substitution. You can't replace the real thing. Now, I believe that we need to have real relationships in our life. We need to have real relationships with God, and we need to have real relationships with other people. And there is no substitution for these things. We cannot replace God and other people with tofu turkey kinds of relationships. And that's what I'd like to do today, is to look at this passage from Colossians, verses 11 through 23, to see how and why we need these real relationships in our lives. How and why we need real relationships with God. How and why we need real relationships with our fellow human beings. Now, this letter is one of Paul's letters to the church in Colossae. Paul wrote this letter to these relatively new believers, these young believers, encouraging them in their life as Christians. So as these people are embarking upon this new lifestyle, Paul writes this letter to them, encouraging them. And in verse 11, he says, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father." Well, why do they need this power? Why do they need this strength from God? These people are now Christians. They have given their life to serving Jesus Christ. So doesn't that mean that their life automatically gets easier? Doesn't that mean that they have this free ride for the rest of their journey here on earth? No, that's not the way it works. Whenever we become a Christian, our lives don't necessarily just become easier. They do become better, but not necessarily easier. They become better because we develop a sense of purpose in our lives, serving the true God. But it doesn't necessarily mean that life is just going to be a breeze now that we have Jesus Christ. If we don't believe that, all we have to do is look at the Apostle Paul himself. Paul was he was very happy in his life as a Pharisee. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was living a good life. People respected him. But when he found Jesus Christ, things got a whole lot more difficult for him. He went from being somebody that the people respected to being somebody that people hated. He went from being a part of the majority to being one of the minority. He went from being a persecutor to being persecuted. He went from being somebody who would kill people for their Christian faith to being somebody who was killed for his Christian faith. Life got a whole lot harder for the Apostle Paul when he accepted Jesus Christ. His entire life changed when Jesus met him on that road to Damascus. Things were not easier for him just because he became a Christian. But do you think that Paul would ever give that life back? Try to become who he was once before just because that was easier? Paul says himself, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ was the most important thing that Paul ever did. And it didn't matter to him if he lost his life. It was well worth it. All the struggles, all the pain that he had to go through were well worth it for him because he now had the truth. He now knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, many of us living today in the 21st century will never experience the kind of persecution that Paul experienced in the first century. Many of us will probably never be tortured, whipped, put in jail, or even killed for our faith. But it's very true, as I look at the lives of Christians, that we don't necessarily have it just easy either. Life is not just given to us on a silver platter because we are Christians. So even though we don't have the same kinds of struggles that Paul experienced in the first century, we do still have struggles. call it as Christians to love one another. And let me tell you, people, it's not always easy to love other people, is it? Sometimes it is just easier to forget about other people, to hate them. Hating is easier than loving. We're told to care about one another. But sometimes people come and they just start talking about their problems. And we just want to say, slow down there, man. I have problems of my own. Don't bother me with your problems. We're called to give of what God has given to us to other people. But we want to, it's so hard to give of the money that we have, to share that with other people. We're called to forgive one another. But it's so much easier to hold a grudge against somebody else than it is to forgive. But this is what we are called to do as Christians. The Christian life is not always easy, but it is always worth it. So even though we may not experience the same kind of persecution and troubles that Paul experienced in the first century, we today do still need the strength of God to get us through. Is that right? Amen. We cannot do it on our own. We need God. We need a relationship with God. And through that relationship with God, He will give us the strength that we can get through our day-to-day lives with. So what does it mean to have a real relationship with God? What does that look like? Well, something that's real to me is my relationship with my wife, Sonia. As I think back on our lives, as I think about, 7 years ago when we first met, I think about how excited we were to get to know one another. I think about those early years whenever we were dating, how we would stay up all night just talking, listening to one another, learning about each other's family, learning about where we grew up, learning about the things that made us us. But it wasn't just enough to learn about these things, about these people, and about these places. I wanted to actually go to the place where my wife was born. I wanted to go to Chicoley, Nebraska, this rural place, population about the same number of people that's in this room right now. I wanted to know about the place where she grew up. I wanted to know the people that she grew up with, because these people and these places were important to her. And as we continued in our relationship, even to this day, we continue to get to know each other better, more and more, every day. We still, whenever we get home from work or from school, we sit down around the dinner table and talk to each other. We ask each other questions like, how was your day today? We want to know about each other. We want to be able to lift each other up whenever you're down and to fly high with them whenever you're high. This is a real relationship. Caring for one another, loving one another. And that is a good model for our relationship with God. Now, obviously, there's some differences in our relationship with God and our difference in our relationship with human beings. God already knows all about us. God knows where we're from. God knows what we're thinking. God knows if we had a good day or a bad day today. But God wants to have those kinds of holy conversations with us. He wants us to spend time with Him every day, sitting down, just getting to know one another. God wants to sit down with us and have a conversation. And what do we call that? Prayer. God wants us to be with Him in times of prayer every day, to get to know Him, and even though He already knows everything about us, for us to be able to share with Him what happened in our lives. And another way that we really get to know God, the way we build our relationship with Him, is by studying His holy word. God has given us much of His history right here. And we are to spend time every day digging into this history, getting to know this person, getting to know God. God tells us everything about the experience from the beginning of time, when the earth was created, up until the time when Jesus lived on this earth, in this book. It is a history book as well as a theological book. As we spend time every day getting to know God, we must spend time in His holy word. So this is the relationship that Paul is requesting, that he is asking upon the Colossians. He wants them to build this kind of a relationship with God. He wants them to know this person who is not actually a person, this person who is God. He wants them to build a relationship with them. He does not want them to have a tofu turkey kind of relationship. He wants a real relationship between God and the people. Because no substitution will cut it. Nothing less than a true relationship will be able to carry them through this life. Now, it's not just our relationships with God that can be tofu turkey kinds of relationships. Our relationships with one another can at times also be tofu turkey relationships. And I said earlier about how sometimes our relationship with our neighbors are really lacking. And I am as guilty as anybody else. My relationship with my neighbors is nothing more than a tofu turkey kind of relationship. When I think about the way that I interact with them, the only time I actually speak with my neighbors is whenever we both happen to be going out to our cars at the same time, or when we both happen to be going out to get the mail at the same time. But when you think about where Sonia and I live, we live in a townhome development, where there's about 200 homes in an area that's no more than probably 5 acres big. There's a lot of people density right there. There's people wall to wall. And yet, I don't know these people. In our townhouse, we live in a center unit. There's people on our left and people on our right. And we share a wall with these people. There's nothing more than 4 inches of wood and gypsum separating me from my neighbors on either side. But I know little more about these people than their names. How hard would it be for me to go next door? I'd probably have to walk from here over to that door, knock on the door, and invite somebody over for dinner. That would be easy to do. But you know what's easier? Keeping to myself. Watching television at night. Watching reality TV shows while ignoring my own true reality. Trying to live through somebody else's reality. That is a tofu turkey relationship, people. But relationships can be hard. They can be scary. It's hard to get to know somebody. And it's hard and scary to let them into your own life as well. What if we found out something about them that we didn't like? What if we found out that they had a prison record? What if we found out that they cheated on their taxes? What if we find out that they're real people? That they are just like us, they are sinners? Or what if they find out that we aren't perfect either? That's scary, people. And maybe that's why I don't have this real relationship with my neighbors. Maybe that's why I settle for a tofu turkey kind of relationship. Now, many of you have asked today, where is Sonia? Where is your wife? Well, right now she's somewhere between Ohio and Virginia, traveling back from her Thanksgiving experience with her family in Nebraska. She grew up in rural Nebraska, I don't know how far away from here, in a place where people truly built relationships. Mostly because there's nothing else to do in Nebraska. But they truly built relationships. And I think that sometimes our busyness in our lives is what really holds us back from building relationships with other people. But she didn't have that growing up. She spent time talking with her family. And she was able to build real relationships with her parents, real relationships with her sister, with her cousins, and with her grandparents. They developed a real relationship where she could come to them when she had problems. When she needed something, she knew where to go. When life got tough, she knew she could go to one of these family members, and they would see her through. This is also the kind of relationship that Paul is wishing upon the Colossians. When Paul says, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. I don't think he ever said that we must do that alone. But instead, God gives us other people to see us through these times. Sonia has real relationships with her family. And even though they're over 1,000 miles away, that relationship is still strong. And she can still go to those people when she needs something, when she needs strength to endure what this world throws at her. Now, Sonia lost a real relationship this past August when her grandmother died. Her grandmother, Bernice Snyder, was somebody that she could go to whenever she needed a recipe. And she was somebody that she could go to when she needed a shoulder to cry on. Bernice Snyder was somebody who would pray for Sonia every day of her life. And then, one day, this person, this relationship was no longer there. And I think that's one of the scariest things about building relationships with other people. And that is that these relationships don't last forever. People do move away. People do die. And sometimes these relationships seem to end. So why put all the effort into it? Why put all the effort into developing such a relationship if it is just going to end? Why do that? Is it really worth it? I think that's perhaps why I haven't put more of an effort into developing a relationship with my neighbors. Because I look at these people, people that live on the other side of the wall from me, and I say, you know what? In another 6 months, I'm going to be moving away from here. Is it really worth it for me to develop a relationship with them? Why should I put forth the time, the energy, and why spend so much just getting to know them and letting them into my life? But people, every real relationship that I have ever had, it was always worth it. It's always been worth the effort. It's always been worth the time to let people into my life and to get to know them as well. When Sonia gets back later this afternoon, I invite you to ask her. Ask her if it was worth it for her to get to know her grandmother the way that she did. Ask her that even though she knew how much pain it was going to cause, if she would go back and do that whole relationship over again. Ask her if she would subject herself to that kind of hurt that she felt when her grandmother died. You ask her that. Actually, you don't have to ask her that. I'll tell you right now what her answer is. She would say yes. Yes, she would do it all over again. Because real relationships are always worth it. Real relationships with God are always worth it. And real relationships with other people are always worth it. It might seem like a lot of work. It might seem like you're really putting yourself out there, making yourself vulnerable. But it is always worth it to take that step. I think Paul knew exactly what he was doing when he was writing this letter to the Colossians. Paul knew that the life for these new Christians wasn't necessarily going to be the easiest life in the world. Paul knew it was going to be difficult sometimes. But Paul also knew that these people weren't going to have to go through life on their own. Paul knew that if they were going to have truly full lives, to experience life to its fullest, that they needed real relationships. Real relationships with God through Jesus Christ, and real relationships with one another. And I encourage you this morning, don't settle for tofu turkey relationships. Because there is no substitution. There is nothing like the real thing. Let us build real relationships with God. Let us build real relationships with one another. Will you please join me in prayer? God, as we come to you right now, we just ask that you enter into our lives. May you know us inside and out. And may you give us the desire to know you as well. Help us to build real relationships with you, Lord, and real relationships with others as well. May we know, Lord, that they are always really worth it. Help us to get past this idea that tofu turkey relationships are sufficient. And let us move into real relationships with all we come in contact with. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.